Good day, everyone. Welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 88, season 4. Today's date is December 14th, 2021. And today I have another Christmas show to discuss with you. Thank you for joining me. Right now, the program will go into commercial. And this program is brought to you by Burger King. And here is a Christmas commercial from 1976. Enjoy, everybody.
America loves Christmas with a million twinkling lights. America loves the sound of bells across the starry night.
America loves a lot about Christmas. Especially giving. So Burger King has gift certificates, 50 cents each, or books of 10 for $5. Great to give, great to receive.
We wish you a Merry Christmas from America's Burger King.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
All right, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed that commercial for Burger King. As you heard it, they advertised the gift certificates, just like McDonald's. I played a commercial on a previous podcast episode. I don't remember very well about the gift certificates at Burger King. McDonald's is the most famous. I guess they were going neck and neck in competition. A little bit about Burger King, still around. Their menu is mostly spent on change, but they added a few things. When I was growing up, Burger King was very good. No, it's okay today, but it's not like the same. Anyway, I remember the Burger King restaurant at Fort City Mall in the 70s, and it was, I think, like next door was Kentucky Fried Chicken. They're both gone. And when I graduated from Bogan High School and then enrolled in Daly College, believe it or not, my father got me a job at Burger King. He did this behind my back. I had no idea he would do this. That's how he was. Sometimes he was selfish, but he was also considerate. He wanted to help. And I guess I mentioned to him, you know, I'm looking for part-time work while I'm in college. And then he stopped off at a location at Archer Avenue and Spalding Avenue, excuse me, not Springfield, in the Brighton Park neighborhood of Chicago. And he says, go over there and speak to the manager. And I said, okay. And I did, and I got the job. And I worked there for about a year. Just about a year. And it was fine. You know, that was my second job. My first one was a busboy at the Mr. Steer Steakhouse at 63rd and Kedzie. I'll go into that. I think I discussed that in a podcast episode. I might do it again later. Anyway, so I worked at the broiler. And I placed burgers on the broiler. That was the first thing I did. But I did other duties over there. But I worked in the afternoons because I went to school in the mornings. Also helped make sandwiches. It's not like today because they have TV screens where when you're working in the back, you see the orders, but you had to hear what the customers were saying, you know, when they're placing their orders. So you have to have your ears open and your mind's in focus. And I did that. They had a drive-thru. I didn't like doing cash register drive-thru. That made me nervous because I didn't like talking to the public. To strangers. I was nervous about that. Also made sandwiches in the back. Let's see what else I did. No. I cleaned the restaurant, cleaned the toilets, you know, I did all that. And I did close sometimes the store, and then I did open the store in the morning. Sometimes that's Saturdays, and they asked me to do that. I didn't mind, you know, but I had to be trained. And I wasn't doing well in school at Daly College, so I decided to go to DeVry Institute of Technology, and I enrolled there in March of 1983, and I had to quit my job because I was going full-time. And it's up in the north side, so there was no time for me to work. And I asked my manager, and she said, okay, that's fine. You just go ahead and pursue your opportunities. Go finish your education. And she was very understanding. Also told my parents, and they said, fine. And that was my Burger King experience. I just want to mention three things about Burger King, that there are items that are no longer there, but this is what I remembered. One was the Whaler, the fish sandwich, the Yumbo. It was a ham sandwich. It was pretty good. I had that. And also Ice Burger. It was like a popsicle. And it was like in the late 70s and early 80s. And those are gone. So they were pretty good. Okay. That's enough for Burger King. Today's episode, I will discuss my Christmas memories of Gately's People's Store. It was a department store located in the Roseland neighborhood of Chicago on the corner of 112th Street and Michigan Avenue in Roseland, like I said before. And because I lived there for about 5 years, from 1969 to 1974. The second part of this program, I will discuss about my favorite Christmas movie of all time. It's a movie that a lot of people might remember, but it's very old. But I fell in love with it for the first time I saw it, probably when I was a kid. And it's Christmas in Connecticut. And it was debuted in theaters in 1945. And it starred Barbara Stanwyck. So I'll go into a little detail about that and why I like this movie than the others. Okay. Right now, first, I'm going to discuss about Gately's People's Store. Now, that store, I don't know the early history of that, but I think it opened in the late 1890s, even earlier than that. But it was called People's Store, but it wasn't called Gately's. So there was a man called James Gately, and he renamed it in 1917. And when he opened, you know, when he added his name and opened the store, it was wonderful. It was a wonderful store. People still talk about it to this day, and people love it. They really do. And when I moved to, well, that is, my family moved to the Roseland neighborhood in 1969. We lived in South Shore because my father owned the property at 11135 South Michigan. That was about a few doors north of the store. And we lived in an apartment above a shoe store. It was called Shift Shoes. I loved living in an apartment, but it was kind of cramped. Not really cramped. There was room, but we needed, my mom complained because we needed a house, you know, because it was me and my brothers. There was five of us. So, you know, for the bedrooms, my mom and dad had their own bedroom. Me and my brother had, we shared a bedroom, and my younger brother, he had like a bed in the dining room. It was but we moved out in 1974 and bought a home. Anyway, my Christmas memories of People's Store was, of course, receiving Christmas toys from Santa Claus and of course my parents. And, you know, I don't think I remember asking, I want this for Christmas, I want this for Christmas. I mentioned the toys in passing, and my mom would hear it. Or when we went shopping together at Gately's, and I pointed out that toy, I knew in the back of my mind she would buy it, but I never accepted. But sometimes she never did, sometimes she did, and it was wonderful. And the toy department was located at downstairs in the basement, in the lower level. It was right next to, there was a popcorn machine. And of course, there was also the famous donut machine. that a lot of people from the neighborhood remembered, where they had the conveyor belt and they dropped the dough and they had the oil, they drop it in the oil and there was a conveyor belt and they make them right there by from scratch. And it was a wonderful thing to see. It's great. That thing should have been in a museum. I don't know what happened. They just dismantled it after the store closed. Of course, they had a grocery store there. And so the toy department was not very big, but I remember everything on display. They had a lot of Tonka toys, board games. I don't remember the Christmas windows at Gately's, not really. I don't know if they had any display. I don't remember, but I remember inside. It was beautifully decorated. Also, there was James Gately. He was the big shot. You know, he would be there trying to, whenever you walked in the store, he would ask you, can I help you? Or can I direct you to what the department? He was a very gruff man, but he was helpful. He seemed very nice. I remember seeing him, and he helped my mother a lot because my mom's English wasn't that good at the time. And he directed her to most of the departments, but my mom knew where everything was. And he was a very nice man to me. Gruff, but nice. Anyway, the toys I received from Gately's was... I remember I got a Tonka toy. It was like a Allied Vans line. It was like an orange truck. I loved that one. And there was also some Fisher-Price toys. I remember there was a locomotive, and I had the Ferris wheel. It was all of it for Fisher-Price. I had a house, the farm, like that. And I remember the board games, the most earliest board game I had was Kerplunk. I think I discussed it in a previous episode, and that was fun. It's a fun game. It's still available. You can find it on Amazon or Walmart or any store. And it's a little different, but I remember the commercial. And that was one of my first toys, and I loved it. I played with my brothers. We played for days until we got tired of it. That's how it is. And I can't think of other games. We played other board games, you know, and... don't really remember most of it, but that's the only game that stood out in my memory of that. And of course, when we look out the living room window, we see the decorations of Michigan Avenue. And then when it started to snow, it looked very beautiful. It looked like watching a movie, like a Christmas movie. It was beautiful. Everything had neon lights, and you see the CTA buses driving by. Also, the South Suburban line, which ran on Michigan Avenue, that would take you downtown. And that was beautiful. It was a beautiful time. And Gately's was in business until they closed that store in 1980 because the area got a little rough and a lot of people left. And it was economically bad over there. So it stood there for a long time, vacant, and they opened another store in the mid-70s. I don't remember what year, probably 73, 74. They opened one in Tinley Park, where I think it's the Bremen Town Hall, and that closed much later, like in the 90s. And I never went to that store, but I've told from other people it wasn't the same in Michigan Avenue. They had everything, but it wasn't the same at all. And I heard now it's a Menards there. Okay, and so Gately's stood vacant. They opened little stores in the front, the first floor, and I think the rest of the floors were vacant. And I saw a few photos a few years ago online in Flickr. A photographer went there, and he went inside the store. Actually, he went inside. Yeah, and everything was, it was awful. It was like trash, ransacked. It was awful. You could see the decorations of the toy store, the walls and all that. He took pictures of the parking garage, you know, and it was, how many floors? Four or five floors of that. And it was free parking. It was, you drove on 112th Street going east. There was the hill. And they knocked that down about a few years ago, but the store stood still. Anyway, then about 2 years ago, the phone rang, and it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't answer it. My mother did, and it was somebody from Fox 32 in the news, and he said, "You know that Keatley's People Store is on fire." I go, "Oh my God!" Yeah, and she said, "Can we use a video of you of the one you created that's on YouTube and your blog?" Because I wrote a story on my blog. It was that's when I started working. That's when the blog became published. It started in June 2019, and I wrote a story about a month before. I don't remember. I said yes because they asked permission. So I raced down and recorded the news on my DVR. And, you know, my mother wasn't very happy about that because I woke her up. But listen, I was flattered. I didn't care. So I recorded and they showed it. And my name was mentioned. They showed parts of the video. But I was so sad at the time because it was burning. You know, the building was burning. And you know what? The memories were flooding in my mind. Of how beautiful it was. And then, and it was all over the news that day. And it was sad to see that. And then later on, maybe a month or two later, they demolished the building. So there's a vacant lot. So that was the end of the store. You know, it's erased. And according to, like, on Facebook and Twitter, a lot of people have wonderful memories shopping there. And now it doesn't exist anymore. And that's sad. Okay. That's enough for Christmas movies. My Christmas memories of Gately's People Store in Roslyn. And right now we're going to go into a commercial break. And this second commercial is sponsored by Marshall Fields. And here's a commercial from 1980. Enjoy, everyone.
Marshall Fields and Christmas.
To help keep her warm on those cold winter days, wrap up cozy pretzel knits from Hanson. Match up hats, scarves, and mittens, all in a fun variety of styles and colors. Another gift she's sure to love is a box diamond pendant from Pierre Cardin. Priced from just $20 to $24, each has a half-point diamond that's sure to put a sparkle in her eye.
Marshall Fields and Christmas.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed that commercial for Marshall Fields that came out in 1980. Everyone still misses that store. It's Macy's now, and some of the Marshall Fields tradition is still there. Not everything, but it's not the same. Okay, next topic I will discuss is my favorite Christmas movie of all time. And the one that I love the most is from 1945, Christmas in Connecticut. You're probably asking why I chose this movie instead of the others. Like, for example, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street. There's so many. Our Christmas Carol, you know, features Ebenezer Scrooge. And a lot of people say Die Hard. I don't want to go into that. I want to meet the guy who started this whole thing. give him a piece of my mind. Anyway, let's not go further on that. Anyway, I chose this movie because it's a little different, and it's not depressing. It's kind of it's a romantic comedy, and it's well acted, beautifully cast. So I'll talk about a little history of that. Okay, now, Christmas in Connecticut debuted on August 11, 1945, right around the time World War II ended, and it didn't play in Christmas. That was kind of bizarre. You know, if you go watch a movie about Christmas in August, that's strange. And it starred Barbara Stanwyck, Dennis Morgan, and Sidney Greenstreet. And the plot is about a unmarried city magazine writer who pretends to be a farm wife and a mother and then falls in love with a returning war hero. Now, Barbara Stanwyck's character, her name was Elizabeth Lane, and she wrote articles for a magazine, and she was like the Martha Stewart of that time. She had wrote recipes, and but the truth was that she never cooked in her life. She was she can't cook, and she would get her recipes from her uncle. And he was a chef, and he had he owned a restaurant, and it was set in New York City. And she worked for a publisher. His name was Alexander Yardley, played by Sidney Greenstreet, who was best known for his role in The Maltese Falcon. Very big guy, you know. And the only people that knew that she was a fake was her editor, played by actor Robert Shane, who was best known for his role as Inspector Henderson on the TV series Adventures of Superman. And anyway, the war hero, played by Dennis Morgan, he looked at the magazine, and then he spoke to a nurse. And the nurse wrote a letter to the publisher and said that it would be a good publicity stunt for him to see Elizabeth Lane. And it wasn't true. And Alexander Yardley was not aware for that. So his editor told Elizabeth, this war hero is coming. We got to find a house. Because she doesn't live in a house. She lived like in an apartment I remember the scene where they hung her laundry like that. Anyway, I'll make this real short. They found a friend of hers owned a farm in Connecticut. And that was the most beautiful place I ever seen in a movie. And then, so they set up, and then they had to get a baby. Because Elizabeth Lane was single, so they had to find a baby in town and to get married, because they weren't married either. And then so the publisher came, and the war hero came, and there was all kinds of confusion. And they would be married by the judge. His name was Judge Crothers, who played by Dick Elliott. He was an actor. He was in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. He's the one that told Jimmy Stewart and Don Reed to kiss her. Why don't you kiss her? And he also was well known as the mayor of Mayberry in the Andy Griffith Show. Okay. So somehow one thing led to another, and then the truth was revealed. I don't want to spoil the movie. But everything turned out fine at the end. That movie, I loved it. I watched it the first time I saw it was on Channel 9 on Sunday. They had the Sunday matinee on Sundays. Probably like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then it was shown on cable, and I bought it on Blu-ray, and I've watched it every year, and it's beautiful. I love that movie. And it's one of my favorite Christmas movies. I intend to watch it this year. I will do that. But, if you haven't seen the movie, check it out. You'll like it. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful movie. They also did a remake of a TV film from 1992 that starred Diane Cannon, Chris Christopherson, and Tony Curtis. And it was directed by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he was in the movie, too, but it wasn't the same. I'd never seen it. I can't say if it's good or not. If I happen to find it, I'll watch it. But it was not well received as the original, like it usually is when they do remakes. So that's the bet. Okay, so that'll be all for today. Do a little recap. I discussed my Christmas memories of Geekly's People Store in Roseland. Also discussed my favorite Christmas movie of all time, which is Christmas in Connecticut. And that's it for this episode. I will probably do another episode this Saturday. It will be episode 89, getting close to 100. 11 more after that. So this is Pete Costanis for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, episode 88. And I hope to see you soon. And I hope to hear from you soon. Excuse me, I won't see you. And thank you for listening. And bye-bye for now. And here's Ray Rayner saying bye-bye for now. Take care, everybody, and so long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.